Previously on Quest Laid Plans.
I'm gonna cast Haste on Windswip.
Do you have to be able to see the person you're messaging? Because can you really see Paula if she's inside the dinosaur?
You can very clearly see the outline of her.
Paula, please. Paula, come back to us. Help us. We can help you end this. Paula, please. If you're there, please come back to us. We had had you. Please, Paula, come back.
I can't come back, but you cannot let Quaris get the egg.
We're looking for an egg, everybody.
Got it. Egg.
Egg?
Egg.
Egg.
Yeah, we're all adrenalined up and there's a giant dinosaur, so maybe no one's thinking straight. It's fine.
So Kit closes his eyes. He takes a really big, deep breath in. And he remembers that time at the lake and that conversation he had with Chiron about like feeling so small and feeling sort of amazed at something, but also totally overwhelmed, and is basically like casting stillness of mind on himself. And then, now that I'm no longer frightened, I just beeline it 90 feet towards the temple.
Fuck yeah.
This dinosaur can sense that you have zero respect for her, and she's going to make her way on all fours, the front two being the wings.
Saunter is over, like, at the insert of the legs and eggs.
She's opening her beak for us to put tips in.
Well, no, she's opening her beak because she's trying to eat Kit. Kit, you're going to take 18 piercing damage and 6 acid damage.
It's down.
That changes everything.
In addition to being unconscious, you are grappled in the beak of this dinosaur and you are restrained.
Someone get him out of there!
Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I'm your Dungeon Master, Megan Kelleher, and with me are the 5 nominees in the race for Student Council President.
Hi, I'm Maya Esming. I play Windswept Palm, Air Genasi Gnome Rune Fighter, and I thought I was signing up for Study Hall, but somehow my name got on the list. Was not prepared to make a speech. Sorry.
I'm Phil Arevalo, playing Kit Marpala, Water Genasi Monk. And, you know, you should vote for Kit because he has some sake.
You're being frantically passed a note that says you can't promise alcohol in your speech.
Hello, I'm Jesse B. Kohler, playing a human boy, golden boy, and you know that I, Jesse, was student council president. So, that's me. Esther Miffian, sorcerer.
Wow. I'm truly just, like, adjusting to a new perception of the world where, of course you were student council president, but I didn't know this information before now. Jamie Hathaway, playing Aveline Every Skywatcher, Wildfire Druid. We don't do student council president in the UK.
Do you have, like, student parliament? Student House of Lords, where all the rich kids go.
Yeah, I was actually a hereditary peer in the Student House of Lords. No, I was a prefect, which means that as a 16-year-old, I got to tell the 12-year-olds off for shoving each other in line at the lunch queue. And they're fearless. They were not afraid of me, and they were all a lot taller than me.
That's one of those things I thought was just a shitty fantasy, but it turns out it's a UK thing.
Yeah.
Netta, I had the exact same thought.
Fuck tariffs, but wow. Hi, I'm Netta Marie Vocheva, and I play Naraya Windsworn, your halfling wizard rogue, and I'm doing this as a bit, but I'm going to win because I'm hot.
I'm running a platform of better pizza in the cafeteria that I have no ability to deliver.
I don't think I'm winning anymore.
So shit's bad.
Shit's bad. And so as this dinosaur has reached her beak into this temple and snatched up Kit into her beak, Kit is now unconscious inside of her beak and kind of half in, half out. She's going to then, with Kit still in her beak, extricate her head from the temple, fly over to where Windswip and Aveline are.
Great.
And is going to swipe with one claw at each of you.
She's still holding him, and she's just...
Yeah, she's got
a beak. So she's got a beak full of...
She's gonna use him.
Beak full of Kit.
Yeah.
Windswip, does a 15 hit you?
Hit Windswip? No.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you managed to dodge out of the way of that massive claw attack.
She's
and
mad.
Aveline, I think a 24 will hit you, right?
Yeah, I only have a 13 AC, so...
All right, you are going to take 9 slashing damage as this claw swipes you.
Okay.
And that is the dinosaur's turn, and it is now Aveline's turn again. Aveline, before you do anything, I need you to make a DC 18 con saving throw.
Oh, delightful. I'm going to use my point of inspiration to roll that again. Fuck, that's a 17.
Oof. Okay, you are overcome by the nastiest, most disgusting, foul smell coming off of this, like, rotting ancient creature. It is overwhelming, you can't breathe, you feel sick, and you're going to take just 6 necrotic damage.
Not terrible.
Also, the following happens. You feel like the world around you fall away, and you are surrounded by an unfamiliar landscape. You are, as far as the eye can see, are strange plants, strange creatures, some of whom are huge, even bigger than this dinosaur right now. And in the distance, you see the ocean, and you see a massive blazing fire fall from the sky into the ocean, not too far from the shore. And then you hear in your head, Quaris, and you know that it's your name.
The fuck?
Is this some kind of like weird psychic event or like a dream related thing?
You kind of come to and you feel as though you've just had a weird like nauseous moment of dissociation.
Okay.
Is what it kind of feels like.
And I think it probably feels even weirder to me because I am normally like resistant to psychic stuff and I don't dream, and like falling into someone else's memory somehow feels very fucking weird for someone who has like race traits called dual mind and mental discipline.
Right. Like you've never... I'll say this then. Perhaps it feels for you because you can't ever really fully go there. You don't fully leave the world you're in, and it's sort of superimposed on top, and you feel like you're in two places at once. And it's like a lucid dream where you know that you're dreaming, but
yeah.
It feels so real for a
or
second.
Like a kind of double exposed photograph.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's you now get to have your turn.
Okay. Right. First things first, I am casting Aura of Life at a 4th level. It is life-preserving energy radiates from you in an aura with a 30-foot radius. Until the spell ends, the aura moves with you, centered on you. Each non-hostile creature in the aura has resistance to necrotic damage, and its hit point maximum can't be reduced. In addition, a non-hostile living creature regains 1 hit point when it starts its turn in the aura with 0 hit points. So that is my action. For my bonus action, I am going to command Addy to fly, who's in the area. She has a fly speed of 30 feet, so I'm...
Right, she's a hovering dick.
Yes, she is a hovering dick. So I'm going to command her to fly to the beak, to within... Once she gets within 5 feet of Kit's unconscious body, I'm commanding her to cast Fiery Teleportation. And Fiery Teleportation is one of the other thing that she can do.
I'm just saying, you wouldn't want to bring a hovering dick into Legs and Eggs.
Who knows what havoc would ensue.
That would get you kicked out.
Amazing.
So, yeah, on...
We should get sponsored by the Foxy Lady. We're doing so many good ads for them.
So, my turn, Aura of Life, I give the command. Addie's turn, she takes her 30 feet of hovering fly speed as close to be within 5 feet of Kit. And then she... Okay, Megan, you're going to have to decide how stringent you want to be with the wording of this, because it's the spirit and a willing creature of your choice get teleported. And I feel like Kit would be willing, but he's not conscious.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. This actually works. No. This works fine with what I was sort of planning to do in the next like couple of seconds. So this is fine. This works out well. So first of all, before I get into that, I want to ask you what it looks like when you cast Aura of Life.
I think there's just this big greeny gold glow, like kind of summer sunlight kind of slanting through the trees, like in a park. It's that kind of light. I've been thinking more about sitting on the grass of the quad with Chiron, so it's that kind of summer evening kind of glowing light that extends around me in this 30-foot big old circle.
Hell yeah. And when this circle reaches Kit, you, it's not your turn, but I will say that you feel yourself wake up in, I don't know your life, but I'm assuming one of the weirder situations you've ever woke up in, which is to say half inside the massive beak of a giant kaiju dinosaur with like acidy spit, and you feel very burnt and tired and sore. And the next thing you notice is Addie appearing, just blooping into the air right next to you.
Fucking fever dream.
Would you go?
Yes, I would. I would go.
Okay, then you're willing. So it's a willing creature.
Fuck
so
yeah.
Where are Addie and Kit going?
Up to 15 feet into an unoccupied space that I can see. So just, I guess, like down to the ground, like 5 feet, and then 10 feet like closer back towards me to get further inside the aura.
I think you're probably more than 15 feet off the ground. I'll say if you wanted to like avoid fall damage.
Yeah, then just to the ground, like
as close as you can get to the ground. I will say that you are able to get close enough to the ground that it's not going to be like a fall damage type fall.
Okay. Nice.
So you thud to the ground, Kit, and you are once again conscious. I'll say you're prone. Well, no, actually, no. I don't think you're prone. I think that you land on your feet because you're a monk, and Addie is a good friend to fold space and time.
Yeah. And the last thing that happens with fiery teleportation is each creature within 5 feet of the space that the spirit left, i.e. the dinosaur, has to make a DC 16 dex save or take some fire damage from her leaving that space.
Okay. It passes. Okay. It manages to, as its mouth is suddenly open, it kind of jerks its head back in surprise and manages to get out of the way.
There's like a little puff of like fiery sparks in the space that like the beak has kind of opened away from.
Yeah, and for a minute you're like, holy shit, I can spit fire. excellent. Is that y'all's turn?
Yes, I think so.
Cool. All right, Naraya, you're not frightened anymore, right?
I'm not. I'm good.
And you are also, you're a little further away from it, so you're not like in melee.
Yes, like, I'm not in melee range. Seeing all of this go down, absolutely fucking terrified for Kit for a second, and then like just ever so slightly relieved when I see Aveline pull off their stunt. I'm gonna go, hey Aveline, I learned something! And I'm gonna cast a third level fireball on the dinosaur. It's an evocation spell, and I'm an evocation wizard, so I get to sculpt my spells, and everyone who would have to save, who's my friend, up to four people, doesn't need to save, so y'all near it are safe. And the dinosaur needs to give me a DC 16 dex save.
Raw on the dice, higher than the DC. So
that's fine. It's still going to take half of my damage, which is 8d6.
Okay. I fucking love fireball.
Oh, they're all good. 12 plus... Okay, so that's 20. 29 plus 6 is... 35, so 17 points of fire damage to my girl.
And I have one third level spell slot left, and I'm saving it. And then, because I'm no longer frightened, I am going to take my movement to keep moving 25 feet towards the temple. And then, because a bitch is still a rogue, I can cunning action, bonus action, dash. So I'm going to do 50 feet towards the temple. And all that right. is my turn.
Fuck yes. You hurl this fireball at the dinosaur and you manage to envelop its entire head and beak. So wherever the small poof of fire that Addy tried, you were inspired and tried again in a more successful way. And as the fire clears, you see a scorched and burned dinosaur head. Its eyes are bleeding. It looks even worse and more disgusting.
The thing is, I don't even see that because I throw the fireball behind my back and I keep running towards the temple.
So that's what you don't see. What you do see is the temple before you. And what do you want to do?
Well, that concludes my turn, but I'm very much looking for that egg.
Okay, so I guess I just sort of meant, like, how do you want to orient yourself with respect to the temple? Do you want to be, like, in it or on it or...
As far in as my 50 feet of movement can get me.
Okay, so the central point would be, like, the bowl, if that's sort of...
Yeah. I'm not necessarily looking to be inside it by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to be able to look in.
Okay, so you're sort of at the edge then. We'll say you're at the edge of, like, this base that is rising out of the ground.
Yes.
Okay. All right, at this point, the dinosaur is going to take a legendary action and is going to sort of, after this fire damage, kind of rear back on its hind legs and pounce.
Here come the legs.
Legs. In the direction of where Esther is. And actually, I think that would give Windswip and Evelyn an opportunity attack, right? Because you're engaged with it in a melee fashion?
If it's leaving, how far away is Esther from everybody else right now?
I'm still at the... the first
point. Where we started.
In the starting point? Then, yeah.
Right. So, and I believe, how far can this thing leap? Let me double check on that. I believe it's 20 feet. So, kind of just putting a little distance between the squad of folks that it's with now and, like, towards the direction of Esther, but still would be probably, like, 30 feet away from you at this point. But yeah, if the two of you want to take opportunity attacks as it kind of attempts to get away.
Nat 20.
Yes.
I got a nat 19, which is a 22 to hit.
Yeah, you 27 to hit.
Yeah.
Jesus, and you got a crit.
Yeah.
So but I only do two damage with my quarterstaff. Trying to do bludgeoning damage with a staff against a dinosaur, not super successful.
Sometimes you have to hit a dinosaur with a stick.
Yeah.
So that's 8 plus 4 is 12 plus 4 is 16 bludgeoning damage with her warhammer. Just really gets him in one of those shapely calves on those legs before it goes.
Oh, yeah. Those sexy dinosaur legs.
I think I, like, swing first with my staff and I'm just like, oh, those scales. And then I just watch Windswip, like, absolutely slam into this leg and I'm just like, yes, girl! Yes!
Yeah, you crack it like a chicken wing situation. You feel something break and when that thing lands, it comes down really hard on the injured foot and it does not look happy.
Hey, Questies, it's me, Megan. Apologies in advance if there is a little bit of traffic noise in this break recording. I'm coming at you from my office at my day job, which is right next to a road. If you want to help us along financially a little bit towards paying the cast and being able to have websites and our podcast hosted on normal places where you like to listen, you could help us out a little bit by going to patreon.com/QuestLaidPlans. For a small monthly donation, You not only help us keep the lights on in the Metaphorical Studio, but also get access to some amazing bonus content, including bonus episodes, talkbacks from the cast. And this month, I think our bonus content is we're going to be showing you a peek into the notebooks of myself and the cast from during the campaign. So you get a little behind the scenes glimpse there. If you'd rather support us for free, which is just as valid, tell your friends about us. We love our listeners. We love our questies, but we would always, always love more. So invite more people to the party. Write us a nice review on your podcasting platform of choice or your social media platform of choice. Hey, follow us on social media while you're there. All of our individual handles and accounts are in the show notes. And finally, if you want to connect with other questies directly, other questies in my area, it's more common than you'd think, maybe. Even if they're not in your area, they're on Discord. So go to bit.ly/questladediscord or questladeplans.com/discord to join our Discord, where you get exclusive updates about the show and can chat with us and chat with each other about your crazy theories on what you think is happening. Thank you so much for listening once again. Back to the show. Okay, it is now Esther.
Oh, I'm gonna catch up to you.
So this
also,
thing,
like, I need to remind the audience that your Warhammer is like covered in like pink hearts.
It's
and just like
yeah, it's got
the
inlaid,
ankle of a
you know,
zombie dinosaur kaiju with it.
And she's small right now, so just normal size, tiny gnome.
So when we do the anime adaptation, this is
giant
be lit.
Power.
There we go.
Antlers.
All right, Esther.
So this thing is now just on top of me, or what's the deal?
No, it's still like 30 feet from you. It came towards you, but it's actually still closer to the others than it is to you.
Okay.
I think I sort of misspoke when I said it went towards you. It's just like that's the direction that it moved in.
Okay, what is the distance?
I'm going to say 30 feet.
Excellent. 30 feet works just fine. I'm going to cast Blight at this thing. So the save is a DC con 16.
Okay, let me do that. It saves.
Okay, so then it'll take half damage, which is going to be 14 is 40. And I am going to use another...
Sorry, so it's 40 halved to 20, right?
Actually, I'm going to use a sorcery point to turn this damage into fire damage. And then that means that I can add a +5 because that's the damage associated with my draconic ancestry.
So what kind of damage is blight naturally?
Necrotic.
Okay.
Yeah. A chorus of nerds just going, necrotic!
Necrotic!
So,
okay.
45 Excellent. Halved.
Okay. So,
22 fire damage.
So this thing just got burnt and then it leapt away and then got burnt again.
Yeah, and I think Esther, like, as it jumps to him in reaction, is like covers his face and like kind of cowers actually, but in that moment of like that movement, the fire like erupts from his hands and overtakes Big Bird.
Yeah, I'm almost picturing it like coming out as this like black smoky necrotic energy and then changing midair to a fire blast before it hits it.
Yes, exactly.
Hell yeah, we're having dino nuggies.
Dino nuggies at legs for eggs. And
legs for eggs now.
Legs for eggs. Bring in a leg, get an egg.
That's terrible for adventurers who just bring in like the disembodied leg of like someone they killed.
Wait, I also you're not frightened anymore, are you? Are
no,
you?
I need to roll that.
Wait. You haven't but you haven't made any checks that would require you to.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so you're good. Okay.
But I
but yeah, he
but
should still
but I need to roll to see if
yeah.
I am gonna send Fink in the direction of the temple. And
okay.
I'm just taking the like the statistics for like a dog that I found on 5e.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 40 feet of movement that she has.
Okay, it would definitely be crossing paths with the dinosaur.
Okay. I think I actually will then, if this is, I guess we figured this out, but I want Fink to, like, end up on the dinosaur's back, like in one of the air, like kind of in that like area where it would be hard for it to like reach around and get at it?
I think that you could do that. I can't guarantee it would end up
there. Yeah.
Super high up on it, but it could definitely climb up onto it to a certain point.
Okay.
Like maybe onto its butt.
Great.
Actually, it's crouching down. So yeah, no, I think it could.
Okay. So that's
reasonably get to like a middle of the back point.
That's what I'm going to have
Fink. I'm going to have Fink maybe make an athletics check.
Sure. Does my frightened apply to Fink, like?
No, Fink isn't afraid of anything.
I wish I could be as brave as Fink.
I'm gonna have it be opposed by, I almost want it to be opposed by perception, just because I don't know if would you notice if like a tiny weird dog was like trying to climb on you? Like it's a weird juxtaposition, but that's what makes sense to me.
That's dex, right? Or strength?
Are we doing athletics or acrobatics?
Well, you tell me, is this more of an athletic dog or an acrobatic dog?
Oh, definitely acrobatic.
So dex.
So that's, oh Jesus, 7.
The dinosaur rolled an 8 plus 1 is 9, oh. So
I just sent this
the
thing
dinosaur
to its
basically death. Noticed that something was sort of itchy on its back and just shook a little bit, and I think it shook Fink off, and I guess Fink is gonna take some falling damage. I don't think she can't fly, right? She's a dog.
No, but I think, well, I thought like as a familiar they're like celestial.
Yeah, she's not gonna die.
Yeah, she's not
gonna
die.
Go
die,
back
yeah.
to the astral plane.
This is some stuff that I should have figured out way before this moment.
Jesse, I need you to be really honest with me. How important is it to Esther and what Esther has to do that Fink stays up and in?
It's not that important. You can say
okay.
whatever.
How many HP does Fink have?
5.
Okay, Fink is fine. Fink takes 2 falling Aww. Damage.
Great. A
solid so Fink
3.
Falls down to the ground and you just hear that sort of like sound that dogs make, Aww. But like she's a fighter.
She's scrappy.
I'm a survivor, I'm gonna make it.
So now I'm gonna take
inspired.
Note to editing, Megan, please cut this. We cannot get sued by Beyonce.
Yeah, unless we start streaming this podcast on Tidal.
Questlade plans exclusive to Tidal.
Gross.
I think we'd get paid more.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but like who would listen?
Yeah.
Jay-Z loves Dungeons and Dragons.
You heard it here first.
Okay, that's your turn.
I'm
Esther?
Gonna yeah, just and roll the wisdom save, and do I still get advantage perfect. With Fink, or is she too far away?
I think she's probably too far away at this point.
Okay. Damn it. 9.
You have inspiration frightened. Still, or did you use yours already?
Oh, I have inspiration still. I'm gonna take it. 18.
Yeah, if it meets it beats, you are no longer frightened. You saw that this dinosaur shaking off Fink couldn't even kill Fink, and you're like, maybe I've got a shot.
Esther watches this happen, sees Fink fall, and then whispers under his breath, "The woods are just trees. The trees are just woods."
More than we can't afford.
I feel like this is fine. He didn't sing it.
It's also too short. I mean, it's just a quote.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. I think this is fine.
I don't
There's no
know
need to be afraid there.
You were quoting, so.
Jamie!
I don't know what you're quoting.
Jamie!
I thought you were a musical theater nerd.
It's Into the
it's
Woods.
It's Into the Woods.
Oh, I haven't seen Into the Woods.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Okay.
I might kick off the podcast.
It's okay.
The dinosaur is once again going to make another leap towards Esther. And this time, it is going to land in about 10 feet from you, which is definitely melee range. It's close enough that you can barely see all of it. And it's going to swipe a claw at you. And that's going to be a 28 to hit.
Doesn't. Sorry.
Okay, that's gonna be assuming you are lying.
Yeah.
Jesse would never lie.
Yeah. Jesse would never lie.
Esther is just absolutely decked out in like adamantium plate mail. We just didn't
Wait,
mention
you know
it.
What?
Did I not say that?
You know what? You know what?
What?
I don't think it. I think I fucked up. Hold on. And that it's not gonna hit you, but I need to double check. Yeah, actually, I had it in my head that the claw attack was a range of 10 feet, but it's a range of 5 feet, so she couldn't quite get close enough to you. And you see her sort of swipe out at you, but you're literally just not in range. That doesn't affect the claw attacks she made the last time, because she was definitely like within 5 feet of the other two. But yeah, you're still okay, Esther, and it is now Windswip's turn.
Okay, this is very exciting. Now, finally, you're going to see haste in action on Windswip. She is going to use, I don't remember how far away it got from her, but I'm pretty sure that 50 feet of movement will be able to allow her to catch up with it.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Okay, great. So she's going to charge on her little legs, full speed ahead, filled with self-righteous fury, and...
And you're going to pass Fink on the grass, just sort of, like, half dead.
Just good shaking to see you, her own tail.
belly rubs later. And I think I'm going to... I'm trying to decide between, like, two possibilities of, like, maximizing her damage and her impact. Okay, she's gonna go in with her classic Giant's Might for this one. So she is gonna get big. Kind of like on the way, on this like speedy little path, just see her little form get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Just running and enlarging.
Yeah. And she's going to try to hit this thing 3 times.
Okay.
Once for normal, once for extra attack, and the third attack from haste. So here we go.
That's what I wanted.
Okay, first attack is probably not 13.
Mm-mm.
That's okay, because the next one is a 22.
That will hit.
All right. And third is... I'm so sorry, Netta. It was that's a nat fine. One.
Aw, that's fine.
So she gets one. And she does this attack in... she uses this her new spell, Booming Blade, which kind of encases... the dinosaur in this thunderous energy. It doesn't do anything right now, but if it moves away from her, it's gonna hurt a lot. So she just, it's like a hammer. It's like basically a giant like gong sound. It's like vibrations encase it. And I'm just gonna do the damage now. 7. Plus 4, 11, plus she gets a d6 from Giant's Might, which I have not been rolling in past episodes, so I'm very sorry for that. 4, so that is, what did I say, 11 plus 15 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And then just if it moves away from her, it's going to be an extra 2d8 of thunder damage.
Okay, hell yeah. You whack this thing and it's facing away from you, but when you do manage to whack it, and I'm assuming you whack it like...
It's in the butt.
It doesn't have a tail, I guess. It's just sort of like a... It's a sort of a guy. Yes, you get it in the butt.
It's chicken butt time. What's up? Chicken butt.
Yeah, that's a better line. I should have said that.
Like, yeah, you whack it in the butt and you're like, chicken butt time. And then you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, there's a lot going on.
Nobody heard.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen. It's going to turn towards you and it's going to attempt to pounce back towards the other group of people, and that involves it moving away from you. So you're going to get an opportunity attack, and you're also, something's going to happen with Booming Blade, I guess?
Yeah, it kind of like, it booms. It's kind of like I set a trap around it, and as it moves away, it kind of gets an extra thunder burst from
it. So do you want to make your opportunity attack?
Oh, yes. Come on, you. Would you believe that was another nat one?
Jesus. Well, we've already done 1,000 things in the last split second, so.
Anyways, damage from Booming Blade. I did that at least. 12 thunder damage.
Okay, it doesn't have to, like, that automatically happens, right? It doesn't have to make a save.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see it pounce, and while it's mid-air, you see it shaken by this thunderous force, and as we all know, thunder damage is super effective on birds, right?
Yeah. We all know that.
Sure.
We all know that.
Not literally in the D&D sense, but sure. And it As it lands, it looks pretty rough. It hits the ground, and a fair amount of its feathers and scales also hit the ground around it. All right, it is now Kit's turn.
Okay, so start of my turn, do I get that 1 HP? Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Cool.
And as long as you're in the aura that is 30 feet around me, you're resistant to necrotic damage, and your hit point maximum can't be reduced.
Okay. And how far away is Big Scary Chicken?
Big Scary Chicken Pigeon is 30 feet from you.
Screw it. Kit.
I'm worried about that.
You're at 1 HP.
I'm worried and excited.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think the way that Kit sort of feels about this is that, like, he's just remembering the last battle and how he felt like he still has this feeling like he didn't do enough, that he never, like, faced the Dreadnought directly.
We're going to talk a little about the final battle. What do you think Kit would have done? Like, what would have been his role?
I guess part of it is that I imagine that the big bad spawns off some little bads as well, right? Like, and yeah, I think Kit would be like engaged sort of, you know, with multiple little bads at once, just trying to sort of keep them off Esther and Naraya. So I think that would be how that sort of starts.
Okay, so I'm gonna have you roll a d20 twice and tell me both numbers.
That's a 15 and a 2.
Okay, the 15 represents how much you contributed and how well you actually did, so quite well. And the 2 represents how you feel you did.
Oh boy, yes, I love it.
Yeah, so based on that, like, I feel like that can also, I mean, what do you take away from those numbers given your tactic and, you know, that narrative nugget?
So, yeah. So what I take away from that is I think I spent a lot of time fighting the little bads. But it was, since I was sort of fighting like one, you know, some small group of them at a time, I never got a sense for sort of how overwhelming that could have been. And so, like, I didn't actually land a significant blow on the big bad. Oh, yeah. So I kind of feel like I didn't contribute in that way, and I don't have a sense for how important it was to keep off the little bads.
Right. Oh, I love that. Yeah, and you think, because I feel, I could see that being like, you know, if anyone tells you you did a good job, it could just feel patronizing, even though it's like so actually important.
Exactly. So he like looks at Big Chicken and just like runs straight up to it. And then first, okay. So
I'm stressed. Phil, please, you're God, stressing let, me out.
Well, please God, let monk stuff work. That would be great.
Come so on, first, monks.
First he's going to, he has like his, like his Screama stick out, and he's just going to like, he's basically like next to Windswip now. And he's also going to whack it on the, well, now it can't be the butt, can it? Because he's turned around.
It's also, it's the dinosaur has leaped 20 feet away from Windswip at this point.
Oh, and is right. Now. Okay, well, I guess I'm just trying to whack it like right in the chest. So please, God, let this hit. That'd be great. That does not hit.
I'm gonna use that Storm Rune reaction for this round, so to give you advantage on that attack roll.
Okay.
Please work this time.
Yeah, I know, that'd be great. Fucking shit. That's a 13. Does not hit. Okay, I am going to try again, my second attack. Does a 19 hit?
It does.
Okay, so I on that first hit, I actually use Focused Aim. I spend 3 key points to increase it by 6, so that's 13 plus 6 is 19. So that hits, and then I am going to spend another key point on that hit for a stunning strike.
Okay.
So that is a con saving throw DC. Oh yeah, it's like a DC 13.
It's gonna save.
Okay, that's fine. So, okay, second attack, I'm gonna like try to, basically like I swing and then I go for a kick, like jumping up. Wait. No, I'm going to hit it again with the stick. I'm going to try to hit it again with the stick.
Gotta hit a dinosaur with a stick sometimes.
Oh, come on. It's even worse. That misses, which is fine. And then I will take... I guess if that's the case... Fuck. Then I'm going to, for my bonus action... Yeah, actually, fuck it. For my bonus action, I'm going to do patient defense.
Okay.
Take the dodge action.
All right. So you hit it with a stick.
Hit it with a stick.
And then you miss it with a stick. And then you take a defensive stance.
I take a defensive stance. So that I hit for 8 bludgeoning damage.
So you land a crushing blow and you do feel some nice satisfying bone snapping and scales sloughing off. But yeah, it holds its ground. It's pretty hefty. And it is now her turn.
You're like at 1 hit point doing your patient defense, yeah. Just like shakily, like.
Just very much hoping that I can dodge out of the way.
Okay. You see this massive dinosaur look around at each of you and see that it's surrounded. And once again, it's going to throw its massive beak to the sky and scream in Porla's voice.
God, this shit again.
And all of you need to make another wisdom saving throw, DC 18.
And I just saved.
Oh, 18, thank God.
Jeez. 21. 16.
I have no fear, nor no one should. I got a nat 20.
It's amazing.
Wow.
The last time we rolled these, I rolled with advantage, and the higher roll was a 16 on the dice, which is a 22. And this time I rolled 2 16s on the dice, so it's a 22 again.
Okay, so I think, did everyone save except for Naraya?
No, 17. Does that not save?
It doesn't. 18. It's 18.
God fucking damn it!
Just made 18, so.
Okay, yeah. So everybody saves except Naraya, and I will say that with your crit, Esther, you are now immune to being frightened by this creature from now on.
Amazing.
The scream, you're used to it. It doesn't really bother you. It's just background noise at this point. Because all you can hear is yourself singing show tunes.
Inspiring.
All right, so let's see. On a failed save, I'm going to roll damage for Naraya. Naraya, you're going to take 21 psychic damage.
Jesus.
And you are frightened once again for 1 minute.
And I need to roll a con save I need to roll a concentration for
right.
Windswept's haste. That's a 4. Windswept, I'm so sorry you're no longer hasted and you're stunned. And you're stunned in the next... for your next turn. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry I couldn't do it justice.
That's fine. It's fine. That's the risk of haste is when it drops.
All right. So, Naraya, you hear this scream, and you are really, really thrown by it. You lose your concentration, windswip. You feel this spell wear off of you in such a way that leaves you kind of dizzy for a second. And that is this dinosaur's turn.
I am brave.
You are brave.
It's just when my friend is screaming from inside a dinosaur, I'm slightly less brave.
Everybody else just heard it, but Naraya, you were looking at it when it happened, and at the angle you were at, you could see that under the skin, Porla was opening her mouth and screaming from there, and it was just too gross for you and too horrible.
Terrible! But also, we can see her, so we can message her.
We can see her moving her mouth, so we could message her.
I'm trying to think, like, what's an analogy?
It's like a metaphor.
It's when you,
I'm just gonna say it. It's like, if you've ever, like, you know those people who are, like, sexually into getting vacuumed into latex beds, like, the girl with the dragon tattoo type thing?
Yes.
It's like that. It's, like, very, like, you can see things. It's just, like, under a layer.
Yes.
I don't know if there's, like, a PG version of that I could have used, but I'm just thinking of that movie trailer where they're, like, sucking her into the latex vacuum thing. So now they're all horny. Let's...
Well, mark me down as scared and horny.
Back to legs and eggs.
Let's go to legs and eggs.
Let's go to legs and eggs.
She's wearing a full gimp suit of dinosaur skin.
A dinosaur skin gimp suit is luxurious. Are you fucking
kidding? That's so expensive.
I need us to talk about literally anything.
Yeah, I hate this.
Cool. Aveline, it is now your turn.
So, how far away, Kit, did you get from me? Now,
like 30 feet.
Okay, so I'm gonna cast a third level healing word on Kit so that you're not at 1 HP. And then with the enhanced bond with Addy that I got at level 8, I get to add an extra d8 from her to any healing or fire damage that I do. So you get 11 hit points back. Plus 5, 16 hit points back, because it's plus my spellcasting ability modifier.
Thank God.
It is.
Thank you.
Getting healed by a fire druid must feel nice and warm.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, when you've been out in the cold and then you come back inside and you can like sit down in front of a fire and you're just like, oh, yeah, okay, I don't have to like worry about being cold anymore because I've got back to the warmth. You're kind of like enveloped in this like cozy feeling and you get your 16 hit points back. So that is my bonus action. And then as an action, I'm going to, because I was still... I was like 30 feet from the temple. I'm gonna take my other 30 feet of movement and try and get to the temple. And Nariah is also at the temple. It's free for me to use my mind link. It's an action for me to get a response. So actually I can use the action because I've only done a bonus action so far. So I'm gonna mind link with Nariah and so that I'm not saying it in front of the dinosaur because I don't know what the dinosaur's comprehension of language is like, but I'm gonna say the reliquary broke and then started to reform and it was going underground, and what if the reliquary is the egg that we're looking for? And then I'm gonna try and like, because it's still coming out of the ground, right?
The temple. Yeah.
Is there anywhere like kind of central looking where I could like take my object interaction to like start digging?
It would be more of a digging around the edges situation because the base of it is like so much larger than the little temple thing. Like the temple thing is essentially like, now that you're seeing,
it's like a podium,
it has
right?
A large base, but it's like a gazebo with like a massive stone courtyard that's rising around it.
I feel like trying to use my scimitar to start digging in like the middle of something really big is just not necessarily a useful thing to do, so I think I'm just gonna get into the courtyard and into the temple, mind link with Nariah, tell her what I'm thinking about the reliquary, having given Kit back some health. That is my turn.
Okay, do you want to have Addy do anything?
It's a bonus action to command her, and I used my bonus action for the healing word.
Okay, so here's what happens. Aveline, you have gone sort of into that stone courtyard towards the gazebo-ish bit of the temple. And Nariah, you are still sort of outside of the courtyard, or are you...
I'm as close to the basin as possible.
Okay,
I think I think we established that I'm like at the edge of it, because I don't want to be inside of like this bloody situation.
Right. Okay. So I need Nariah and Aveline to each make a DC 15 dex save.
Dex save. Ooh. 21.
Nice.
10.
Mm. Fuck. This is my first good roll of this entire situation.
So, just as you get there, Aveline, you are still sort of running and don't quite have your footing. And so the temple beneath the two of you, when it starts to shake even more violently and rise, you feel like you're in like an elevator all of a sudden. It's rising and it's making a little more progress than it had been making in the last few seconds. It makes like a little leap out of the ground almost, just by like a foot or so. But the impact of it is going to shake loose some of the stone in the roof of this gazebo, and you manage to dodge mostly out of the way, Nariah. You're going to take half damage, but it gets you like square in the head, Aveline, and knocks you prone. So I'm going to roll that damage now.
Fun for the whole family, really.
Okay, 8 bludgeoning damage for Nariah and 15 for Aveline, and you are knocked prone. You fall over. As you are rising, you can see that you're rising out of the ground. I think the two of you from where you are can't really see under the ground under your feet. The rest of you, however, can see this temple starting to rise, and you realize that it's not like a base, like, or a courtyard rising out of the ground. It is a much larger structure. And you start to realize that the temple, this like gazebo-y temple situation, you realize is more of like a cupola on top of a massive structure.
Is
It is now apparent that Aveline and Naraya are on the roof of a colossal square-shaped structure, decorated with ornate carvings evoking motifs of feathers and eggs. Caved-in windows perforate the crumbling structure's facade here and there, but nothing large enough to allow you to see inside the structure, and certainly no sign of an entrance or exit.